Okay, folks, we've got Barbara Aho online with watchundoprayer.org, watch-untoprayer.org. And we are continuing our recording today on August the 17th, and we will play this on August the 18th. We'll add this into our show tomorrow, as we'll be live tomorrow on the Berean Chronicles. But one of our listeners who you know through email, Barbara, she said, I was wondering about what you were all discussing earlier about the importance of the heartbeat in the initiations, also considering the Aztecs tearing out of hearts, since the Olympic ceremony appears to be an occult ceremony, witchcraft. As such, I was wondering if it ties to anything that she may be discussing today. And so we did a show on the Olympic ceremonies, the witchcraft Luciferian initiation ceremony at the Olympics this last year. And yes, part of the, we know the rituals is to tear out people's heart. And Masons kind of, I mean, it's just been done for many years, tear out their hearts. I guess the Egyptians do it.
Well, it's a way of possessing the power of that individual that you've sacrificed. I don't know how it ties in with this.
No, I don't think it does either. Ties into Harry Potter.
She probably knows.
Mark. Yeah, she probably knows. Call us, Lynn. Let us know. But she says all these designer marks of the beast, designer marks, and, of course, branded by God. And you see a lot of Christians today, Barbara, before we get into some more of your Luciferian initiations. We've seen a lot of so-called Christians today think it's the end thing to do, and I've even had discussions with my 22-year-old who, you know, want to get tattoos, crosses on their shoulder or at their ankle, a fish, and or, you know, somewhere on their body, a tattoo for God. Now, we're seeing tattoos today more than ever before, and as I told them, it was witchcraft, and it's definitely rebellion against God, and marking their bodies in any way, shape, or form initiates them to the occult. And most of our symbols today, the fish isn't Christian anyways. They've just taken on a Christian, use it as a Christian symbol. And you don't really want a cross on you either. So you don't want to tattoo your body. I remember I've been on to a few youth camps, and I would have a couple youth trying to cut themselves, and in the Bible, you know, you had that demon-possessed guy had to cut himself. He was cutting himself. So they're making scars. They're making cuts. They were cutting their wrists, and this young girl cuts herself all the time and make themselves bleed. It's a demonic thing. I mean, a demon inside of them making them do it. But you see it all the time in our youth.
Yes, and we have three reports on the Mark of the Beast. One is on tattoos and branding and how this is being promoted in the youth group. And then the way I met Lynn was she was very disturbed because she at the time had teenagers, and these occult logos and symbols were being promoted in the youth group, and she helped. Well, she actually wrote up that other report that we have on designer marks of the beast, where these occult symbols were on T-shirts. You know how big T-shirts are with the youth. And they're supposed to be Christian T-shirts. Well, this youth stuff was selling to the youth groups and to the youth all of these T-shirts with occult symbols on them. And we have a whole report on these and what these symbols really mean. And many of them were variations of the six-pointed star. Mm-hmm.
And for people not to think this is going on, I mean, my son was in skateboarding and skating a lot. We skated together a whole lot. And so he got into some of the designer clothes, I guess, out there for skateboarders. And one was Massimo, and the other one was Stussy, and then Yaga. And that was their names of the clothing and backpacks and hats and stuff. And then come to find out, I mean, this is witchcraft, who knows what else is said, but Stussy in the script read, I am gay. And then Massimo, in the script, not when it's in block letters, but when in its script, read, I am gay. And then YAGA stands for, oh, Young American Gay Association or something like that. And so when my son, very young, when we found out about that, of course, we ripped off the Massimo off of his backpack because he had one at that time and took out the lettering. So no one could do it, and he never bought anything from them again. But he realized then at a very young age that they're marketing out their secret symbols and codes within their logos, and it's demonic. And so, as you see in the adult world, the logos of our car dealerships and our gasoline and our everything, you know, from the internet to AOL to every logo is a demonic symbol of which they all hope there's powers behind them, I guess, too. And so it's good for kids to understand that really quick so they don't get hooked in there into loving the symbols on different things, which they use them a lot on our teenagers.
Yes, and one thing that Christians should know is that in Leviticus, putting a tattoo on the skin is forbidden. We are to have no cuttings or tattoos on our skin. So
or marks. Let's just say, let's no marks, you know. So Satan's going to put a mark on you. Don't even put yourself marks on your body.
Right.
No marks.
That's right. I wish I knew that verse, but I don't have it in front of me. Very important.
Mm-hmm.
That'll protect people from a lot of this,
mm-hmm.
if they just know that.
Let's see. I've got it here somewhere, but I'll get it out. Okay, Barbara. Let's finish going through your notes of the Luciferian initiations and where you wanted to go this time.
Okay, I just wanted to talk in Harry Potter in the books. They talk a lot about transfiguration, and the Luciferian initiation is going to be the time when the whole world is transformed, and they will in religious circles they will call it the transfiguration. So that Christians, the manifest sons of God, will think that this is their example will be the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. So transfiguration is a very important term. But I want to just quote this David Hudson, what he says about becoming a superconductor. And what happens to a person after, let me see if I can find that. When you have your perfect superconducting body, you are no longer of this space-time. You are a light being. Your mind is one with other people's minds. You literally know their thoughts, and they know your thoughts. You're one mind, and you are one heart. And he calls this science. So after you receive this electrical current coming into your body and you become a superconductor, you will be able to, I can't find the rest of the quote, I wanted to read it. You will be able to do a lot of things like Harry Potter does. But I seem to have lost that. Anyway, we have a section in our report on Heeding Bible Prophecy on alchemy and this false transfiguration that is going to take place. I'm not sure exactly where it is in the report. I hate to say, but if you just go on the main page of that Heeding Bible Prophecy report and look for alchemy, you can read all about this superconductivity and this transfiguration that is going to take place. But, okay, in a mystery rite, Lucifer manifests as an electrical force that unites with the initiate who has been ingesting white powder gold or gold dust. And we believe that during the tribulation period, this white powder gold will be distributed to the masses for enlightenment, and that this will be done in church services as the communion wafer. And in Jewish synagogues as manna. You see, they have to put a biblical cloak on it to pass this witchcraft off as Christian or Jewish. But this, the ingestion of this precious metal will create perfect superconductors for Lucifer to bond with in the Luciferic initiation. Now, during this rite of transfiguration, it will be an initiation rite. Mankind will be told that they are going to be deified. It will be a false resurrection. And demons or extraterrestrials will be on hand, will be summoned to teach mankind how to ascend the material world. And this is nothing else but astral travel or out-of-body experiences. The manifest sons of God will see this as a rapture experience. It'll be marketed as different things for different groups of people.
You know, star children, indigos, different things like that. There's a lot of people, Kelly, about translation,
yeah.
Where you can be here and be there at the same time. A lot of out-of-body experiences. Anyway, it's just the paranormal.
Yes, and of course, this is the whole Harry Potter series is conditioning not only children but the whole world that this is possible and that this is a good thing. So the whole world is being prepared to see this as the quantum leap, the final stage of evolution of man into his divine state.
And on the New Agers talk about this all the time. This isn't that new. Barbara Marx Hubbard in her book, you know, they all believe we're going into our next state of evolution. We can either come with her or we can all get killed, you know. It's one or the other. We can go into our next state of evolution and become enlightened, illuminated, and come on in and have these resurrected bodies, or we can go off and just be killed because we're going to be bothering them.
Well, that's the whole point of whoever doesn't receive the mark is beheaded, because they can't have people around hindering this whole global effort. That we are just dragging the whole human race down, and we're convincing others, or Christians or believers or Jews then will be convincing others that this is not a good thing to do.
And everything I'm reading, they're blaming that the kids are going to be doing this. Young children, 6 months old, 2, 3, 4, 5, from the stories from 50 years ago to a lady in 1999 wrote a book on, what was the name of that book? The Indigo Children, and it's going to be the children that lead us into peace, and they're going to have enlightenment and be able to, you know, they get out on the grid by their third eye. They go on the grid, talk to everybody. And in their telepathy, but it's going to be the children that bring us into it. So how can, you know, grown-ups who, you know, love kids, how can they not trust the children?
Well, I really think that, you know, through the Harry Potter books, the way I don't know if you've read any of it, but the Muggles, these were the parents, the aunt and uncle, who objected to Harry Potter's witchcraft and to his parents' witchcraft. And they were presented as very mean and abusive and stupid. And so anyone who disapproves, and usually it would be adults disapproving in the adult world, will be presented to the children as Muggles, as these types of people. And here they're just trying to spare them this demonic possession. But the children, who have no discernment, they're working very hard on the younger generation because they don't know. And they don't know Bible doctrine. What little they've been taught in the church is occult doctrine.
And their parents don't know, and they're not spending any time with their parents anyways.
That's right. And if their parents disapprove of what they're doing, then they become Muggles.
Right.
In the children's eyes. So they are creating a cognitive dissonance within the children. Anybody who disapproves of this is evil. And so they've got the children. It's just the scariest thing you've ever seen. And you have to feel sorry for parents whose children are going to buy into this, and they can't stop them. And that's why it's so important to educate everybody right now, the sane ones that are still left, who haven't as you say, drunk the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and there's some that drank Kool-Aid, but maybe we can slap them, you know, spiritually speaking, in the face to wake them up and get them to repent and turn and get their family in a hedge of protection to where this demonic enlightenment and possession can't enter in their family.
Yes, and there is time. You know, this is the age of grace. Now is the day of salvation. This is not the unforgivable sin. There is the opportunity to repent. Anyone who's been involved in the occult, has undergone initiation, can repent and turn to Jesus. God is not willing that any of these perish, but that all come to the knowledge of the truth. So I want that to be very clear, as you stated before.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Okay, but during these initiation rites, these are going to be sexual orgies. There are going to be no inhibitions, and of course, anybody who objects to this type of sexual rites would not want to receive the occult symbol and would be beheaded. But these sexual rites are being performed, and there's going to be so much perversion at that point and homosexuality. And of course, homosexuality is highly revered by occultists because it's the one step in the direction of androgyny, the fusion of male and female, which is supposed to be the outcome of this spiritual transformation. So this Luciferic initiation is going to be a pretty wild thing. And I just wanted to read from Revelation chapter 13 so that people could see how this is, you know, this mark isn't going to be inserted in some government office building. This is going to happen in churches and synagogues, and it's going to be a religious rite. And I just want to read a portion of Revelation 13 so that you can see how all of these, this chapter contains the elements of an initiation rite. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war with him? So it's going to be a worship service. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And this sounds to me like the occasion when the false Christ sits in the temple of the rebuilt temple, claiming to be God and blaspheming. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in the earth. So he is going to be blaspheming God as this evil demiurge that everybody's been educated to think the biblical God is the evil demiurge. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And, of course, these are the people who object to what he is doing, who see through the whole deception, and they are trying to warn others. And there are going to be people, I believe, saved during the tribulation period. And these are the saints. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Again, we see apostate churches and synagogues and temples, Hindu temples and New Age temples where these worship services and rites are taking place. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Then it talks about he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, he that killeth with the sword. Here is the persecution of the saints who don't go along with this in their apostate churches and in their temples and synagogues. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So two horns like a lamb. He's going to be presented as a religious figure, and I think as a Christian figure. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. In other words, he has supernatural power, and he also has political power. But he's going to be exercising all of this supernatural power, and he causes the earth and them which dwell within to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Here we have a deadly wound, and I think that refers to the wound of Dagobert. The Christ, the false Christ, is going to be a Merovingian, descendant of the Merovingian bloodline. And at this point, the head wound of Dagobert, the first Merovingian Frankish king, will be healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And this, of course, remember those little charismatic children saying, send the fire. And this is the fire that is going to manifest from Lucifer at the initiation service. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Okay, so here we have an image, and isn't that going to go into the churches and into the synagogues? Maybe it's the image of Ashtaroth, who knows, which had a wound by a sword and to live. And he, still speaking of the false prophet, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, an image that speaks in the ancient mythological rites was called an oracle. And these images would actually speak. These were miraculous signs, and they would give instructions to the people. So the demonic power is going to be so great in these church and synagogue rites, these religious rites, that the images will come to life and speak as oracles and tell the people what to do. Of course, this is all very demonic. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, as it reads in the Textus Receptus. And this, of course, is part of the Luciferian initiation, the badge of fealty to Lucifer, to the beast, as a result of receiving the fire that came down from heaven and being possessed by Lucifer, that no man might buy or sell save that he had a mark or the name of the beast or the member of his name. Anyone who will not go through this initiation rite will be killed or will not be able to buy or sell. And there's also evidence in verse 20 that they will be beheaded. So they will either starve to death or be beheaded. And then here is wisdom. He that hath understanding, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Of course, this is the seal of Solomon, and it will be passed off as a religious symbol, a Christian symbol, a Jewish symbol, the symbol of people. So this whole initiation rite is a religious rite, and it will also be a counterfeit rapture, a counterfeit translation. It will be a levitation rite, and it will be called, we believe, the Grail Mass, and the white powdered gold will be part of this Grail Mass as the Eucharist. Of course, the Catholic Church will love this. And I just want to read also a quote from David Hudson about the white powdered gold having been used in the Temple of Solomon. He wrote, "If you ask a rabbi if he ever heard of the white powder of gold, he says, yes, we know of the white powder of gold, but to our knowledge, no one knows how to make it. since the destruction of the first temple, the Temple of Solomon. This knowledge was not completely lost. The high priests who left the temple when it was destroyed went out on the desert and organized the community known as Qumran. They were the Essenes. If you get copies of the Dead Sea Scrolls uncovered, which Eisman and Wise just translated, this in ancient Egypt is known as the golden tear from the eye of Horus. So this white powdered gold is going to be passed off as having been part of the initiation rites in the Temple of Solomon to the Jews. And, of course, the Antichrist will be purveyed as the descendant of Solomon. So you can see how this whole deception is going to come together at the very end, and how people will think that what they are doing is biblical. And of course, by this time, the true scriptures will have been banned, and the Gnostic scriptures will have taken the place of the true scriptures. And at this point, which we believe will be at mid-tribulation, the Antichrist will be able to set up his kingdom for 3.5 years. Of course, the Lord is going to make short work of that and usher in the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ, which will last not only a millennium, but forever. And I just want to end on that good note, and because we have to know that this is all as terrible as it looks. God is warning his people, bringing them out of deception. He will continue warning them up until that very time in the tribulation period. And he will, I believe, mightily deliver those who come to Christ during the tribulation period. And then Jesus will set up his kingdom. And hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus, come, for sure. Yes. Barbara, that was excellent. I got an email here from one of our listeners, Donna, and she has just been so blessed by your report today. But she sent a picture, a copy of the book we all need to get, The Six-Pointed Star by O.J. Graham, and on the front of it, you might not remember, but it's got a lightning bolt on top of the star.
I've got this book right here.
Hers has a lightning bolt on top of the six-pointed star.
Isn't that really?
Funny? Yeah.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was quite interesting. Anyway, she said, Barb, absolute excellent job you have done. You're doing on Kelly's program today. What a blessing this information is to Christians and non-Christians who need to come out of these deceptive demonic occult practices and accept Jesus Christ. She says, I have the same book, The Six-Pointed Star, for around 20 years now. My copy's cover may be different from yours, but I had forgotten that there was also a thunderbolt on the front cover. I had to read this little book again to see if there's something in it about the thunderbolt, because I had forgotten. Amazing how you and I have been led by the Holy Spirit both to discover this truth about the six-pointed stars from Morals Dogma, Blavatsky, Andy Bassett, and also this little book. I also had one of Bassett's book, Triangles. The title of it was Triangles. I wish I still had that book. It was so very old, but so much amazing information we still need to know. Then I started to discover so many corporations use the triangle in so many different configurations as their logos, and it was like a light bulb went off in my head about the inverted triangle, six-pointed star, mark of the beast. So occult. One of the most demonic symbols there is, and that straight from the horse's mouth, the occultists themselves. I don't know if I ever told you this. I may have years ago, but it was your report on MOB. I'm not sure what that is.
Mark of the Beast.
Oh, Mark of the Beast. Being the six-pointed star that blew my socks off when I first discovered your website. What a blessing it was to find someone who saw this, and I thank God for your gift of being able to go on the radio and tell people about this, and I thank God for Kelly and her program to allow you to do this. God bless Donna. Yeah, a lightning bolt. Well, Phyllis is trying to get me this book, O.J. Graham's The Six-Pointed Star. But isn't that funny? It's got old Harry Potter lightning bolt right on the front of it.
Oh, I would love to see that.
Okay, well, she already emailed it to you, so when you get through with the show, you'll be able to go see it right away. I got another email from another one of our listeners. I think you'll find this one very interesting also. he is an electrician or an engineer of some sort. He says, for your information, the relative conductivity of metals from the Master Handbook of Electronic Tables and Formula, silver has the highest conductive. It's 100%. Copper is 98%. Gold is 78%. Goes down from aluminum, platinum, iron, you know, carbon is 0, mercury 1. He says, also, fire is a conductor much like electricity. There are four states of matter, solid, liquid, gas, and plasma. Fire and lightning are both in the plasma state of matter. In my first job out of college, I worked as an electronic gas igniters for natural gas appliances. As a safety feature, we would measure the presence of a flame by measuring the conductivity of the flame. If after the start sequence there was no conductivity, we shut off the gas valve. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'll read in Leviticus, when God sends down the fire, it destroys everything. You know, when people are calling down God's fire, they're calling for God to just destroy them. Because when his fire comes down, everybody dies. It's not the kind of fire they're wanting. And it just reminds you of Mount Carmel in the scriptures. And I have the scripture here in Leviticus. It's 19:28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print. I like that word, print.
Yeah.
Nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. So a print would be, I mean, back in the olden days, I don't know how they tattooed. They probably branded. I don't know. But they would print a mark. And that's very clear right there. That is very, it doesn't get any clearer than that.
I think they actually cut the flesh. If you have seen any of these.
Or they probably use hot irons.
Yes. Or brands.
Yeah, branding. Instead of tattoos with coloring. But it says here print and an inker's horn. So maybe they had some kind of ink that would permanently discolor their skin. Our markers exist today, our Sharpies. But there might be some type of ink back in the old days that would not wash off very easily.
Yes. Well, that Leviticus verse covers a lot.
Yes, it does. So, nor prints. You know, that covers it right there. None of us put a print on our body. We'll do fine. No, we got to be saved, too. But, I mean, no print upon the body of any kind.
That's right.
It's just like the piercing, too. The piercing is definitely initiation and being branded as being yoked with the demonic. And so I think the fire, you know, how they offered strange fire back in the old, you know, even today in a lot of churches, they offer strange fire. But in Korah and different in the wilderness would offer strange fire unto the Lord.
And they were consumed.
And they were consumed by God's fire.
Yeah.
He would come down and consume them all, kill them, because he didn't like that strange fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, the main reason he hates this so much, the witchcraft and the sorcery and the wizardry and these marks, is because it's so evil and it destroys us forever. And he loves us so much, he doesn't want us destroyed forever. And that's the reason why he hates it.
Yes, yes. That's why he judged Israel, and he forbade it, because he knew how harmful these fallen angels were.
Mm-hmm.
They present themselves as angels of light, but they really are destroying demons.
Yeah, and then I got another one from Lynn. I can't find it right this minute. I lost that email. About 33 churches involved with the fire. What happened to that email, Phyllis? I lost it. Maybe it's probably under my Bible. Yep, there it is. Did you notice the website branded by God, Mark of a Warrior? It has 33 churches involved in the Acquire the Fire movement. This movement is big in evangelical circles and anything to keep the kids in the church movement. One of the groups, POD, Payable on Death, years ago had a rectangle on the left with stars twinkling, and every so often one of them would fall. They have since replaced it. I think they now use the one that's on the front of the New King James, that logo. I discovered the Acquire the Fire movement when a child attending a Christian college had a concert in the area of her college. These are stadium events. So these Acquire the Fire, they go to stadiums, kind of like Promise Keepers, full of children. And they get branded by God. And these are all kids that are getting tattoos.
Yes, that's interesting. Probably this right, a lot of people will be in stadiums, like at Promise Keepers, possibly.
Instead of face painting, they'll just brand them with forgot.
Yeah.
It's not funny. It's real sad. So I thought it's very interesting that this is not going to be coming from a government entity. It's going to be coming from the false apostles and the wolves in sheep's clothing who are going to be giving out this mark.
Yes, and we'll have the cloak of Christianity. And
many people already are wearing the Star of David. Many Christians are already wearing it. And you see every day now that this war started in the Middle East, Barbara, that every day commercials and news about what Israel's doing, and the commercials come on, Christians and Jews together, commercials for us to love and protect and honor the Jews and God's holy whatever people and that kind of stuff constantly coming on, and they constantly have, of course, the six-pointed star involved in the whole thing. But there's plenty of people who are so caught up in this Jewishism.
Yes, and they're indoctrinated in the churches that anything Israel does is good and biblical, and they don't seem to realize that what's going on over there is the setup for the Antichrist.
Right. And so they're making people really think that everything Jewish is absolutely wonderful, and that so people are walking around with like a cross and a Star of David on their necklace.
Yes, and they don't seem to know the Old Testament, what Solomon really did.
Yeah, people are shocked when I tell them, oh my goodness, he whored after Ashtaroth and probably spent an eternity in hell.
Yes, there's no sign that he repented.
No. No sign whatsoever that he repented. And his whole religion that he did and started is the whole foundation for, of course, the Antichrist, but all the secret societies.
It did. And Freemasonry came out of that. He brought it. Solomon brought it from Egypt.
Yep.
And then the Jews took it, and they started Freemasonry based on the temple rites of Solomon.
Yeah.
Who got them from Egypt.
Well, I appreciate your report, Barbara, and Lynn has been, maybe she can get enough time to do it. I forget when her daughter's birthday is, but we need to do a start of the false gospel and the stars, and we need to do that real soon. And maybe you and her can do it together the week after next or something. I forget when her child's wedding. When, Phyllis? When is the wedding? 2 weeks from now? So
well,
we've got to get that done. I think it's important. I think it's going to be a several-day report. So if you could start, you know, preparing for it, and her too, and maybe we could split it up, both on the line together or whatever. But it'd be good to, the false gospel and the stars, I think it's quite interesting that all of a sudden we're naming new stars up there, or no, new planets. It's amazing we call those planets or little meteorites up there, we call them stars. I think that's quite interesting.
Well, they're worshipped as deities.
Right. And so we need the false gospel of the stars that has been going through all the evangelical realm also.
Yes.
Makes people like appreciate stars a little bit too much.
Well, they're people like D. James Kennedy is passing them off as signs that God has given of Jesus Christ, which is totally evil.
Right. Yeah, him and all the other CMP members, like Chuck Misler.
Yeah.
Many of them doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's amazing how they're all reading from some weird script.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. All right, Barbara, the Lord bless you, and I just appreciate your hard work, and we'll do more of this in a couple of weeks. We'll try to get, of course, you're working on another project also. We look forward to that project and on the King James Bible, and we also look forward to doing a show on with you and with Lynn on the false gospel and the stars. People can go to your website, Watch Under Prayer, get that article already. I've already started reading it. It's big. It's a lot of information, but they can start, you know, going through it right now. Maybe each month when they're in that astrological sign, whatever, they can start reading it, what you do in each one. I think you probably take each one of the 12 zodiac signs.
Yes.
And go through each one.